24 hours of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The FBI has asked the Attorney General for permission to scrub its controversial computerized criminal record system. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Attorney General Edward Levy says he hasn't decided what to do yet because he says the criminal history program of the FBI is potentially so valuable. Levy was speaking before San Antonio meeting of the National Association of Attorneys General. An FBI spokesman says Director Clarence Kelly wrote the Attorney General to make the request and said the high cost of the operation and a lack of state participation prompted it. CIA Director George Bush has informed the Senate leadership that the CIA plans to resume destroying its records on domestic spying, mail openings, and other improper activities. Bush says that no material has been destroyed since the beginning of 1975 because the Senate had requested a holdup while the Intelligence Committee conducted its investigation. CBS News continues after this.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations, and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children. Books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Spain's King Juan Carlos hosted President Ford at a dinner Thursday night at the Spanish Embassy. Robert Pierpoint has that story from Washington.
The President and Mrs. Ford obviously enjoyed their evening with Spain's King and Queen, staying more than an hour beyond the scheduled length of the visit to the Spanish Embassy. Although the dress was the highly formal white tie, the evening itself was pleasantly informal. Some 400 guests mingling enthusiastically with each other, royalty, and the Fords during the course of the 3 hours they were present. The president toasted the king with a strong hint that America still hopes to have Spain join NATO.
I have no doubt of the increasingly important role Spain will play in the world, and particularly in the West. Spain is a part, geographically as well as historically, of Europe and the transatlantic community.
In his toast to his American guests, King Juan Carlos started out in Spanish, but then broke protocol to finish in English, a warm gesture symbolizing the pleasant kind of evening it was. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Washington.
A chemical plant in Sydney, Australia, was rocked by explosions Friday morning. There are no reports of casualties yet, but as Harold Abrams reports, danger is still in the air.
Fire and explosions in a big chemical plant have caused toxic fumes to drift over a large area of Sydney's western suburbs, the most densely populated area of Australia's largest city. More than 200 employees rushed from the plant in terror as the explosions showered chlorine over some of them. Police cars are patrolling the streets and radio stations are carrying police warnings for residents in the area to stay indoors.
If a person is affected by the gas, they should contact their local hospital, doctor, or ambulance station. Drivers are especially warned that the fallout from the gases causes bitumen roads to become very slippery, and they're advised to drive with extreme caution.
The explosions and fire have destroyed 6 buildings. Firefighters are still unable to get close enough to control the blaze. Harold Abrahams for CBS News, Sydney.
Egyptian President Anwar Sadat says in a published interview the Arab position is hindering movement toward peace in the Middle East. Sadat cites Syria as a main obstacle to peace talks. He says Syria exhibits a two-faced policy. Egypt has condemned Syria's military intervention in Lebanon and calls for an urgent meeting of Arab foreign ministers to put an end to it. Now this.
It's the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar that kills both ticks and fleas.
This summer, don't let ticks and fleas make your pet suffer. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your dog or cat now. Don't let ticks and fleas get a free ride into your home. Put a heart's two-in-one collar on your pet now. To kill ticks and fleas, the right collar is the white collar.
Get the white collar, the heart's two-in-one collar. It kills both ticks and fleas.
The Belmont, the Test of Champions, a mile-and-a-half challenge for America's best three-year-olds, and it's all coming to you Saturday, June 5th. I'm Win Elliott, and I'm going to be there for the color. Ray Hadle call the race as it's run. Can Bull Forbes, the Derby winner, hold his speed? And how about Play the Red? He was finishing fast in Maryland. Will somebody new pop down the stretch and right into history? It all happens at the Belmont, the third and toughest of the Triple Crown races. Be there on this CBS Radio Network station.
Cuba is planning to build its first nuclear power plant with the help of the Soviet Union. Cuba's construction minister, speaking in Vancouver, British Columbia, said his country is not against nuclear power, provided plants are secure, well-protected, and used for peaceful purposes. Rita Sand, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, and the time is 10:06.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. When Marie Antoinette was told that the people had no bread, she replied, "Let them eat cake." She only meant it as a jest, and she could never understand why, A, nobody laughed, and B, she would have to pay for it with her head. It all goes to prove that the public will tolerate any abuse from its rulers except a half-baked joke, which is why the story you're about to hear concerns a very serious person.
How did you get in here?
You don't remember me, Your Excellency.
Halder. You're John Halder.
Yes.
But you're dead. You were shot this morning. How did you escape?
I didn't escape. I was shot.
You didn't die.
I died. All the bullets hit me.
What do you want?
I only want to know the answer to one question.
What question?
Why didn't you give me justice?
Our mystery drama, Blue Justice, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Leon Janney. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Here we are talking with one of the thousands and thousands of people who bought a Buick this year. This is a Skylark, right?
That's right. Pretty, huh?
Indeed it is.
You want to sit in it? I'll let you for a buck and a quarter.
Do you charge to let people sit in your Skylark?
Oh, this is a very nice car. Look, I figure when word gets out, people will be lined up for blocks. Hey, you want to honk the horn? Give me a dime.
Listen, sir, Buick dealers let people do this for free.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're missing a good bet.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Cotton candy here. Step right up and get your cotton candy.
Oh, may I have some?
Me too.
Can I share?
Mommy, it's all over my nose.
May I offer you wet ones?
Me too.
Help yourselves, kids. There's plenty of them. That's why I brought Wet Ones new Port-A-Pack to the fair. It's right in my purse. The moist towelettes pop up fast when I need them. Nothing to unfold or unwrap.
Ooh, look, candy apple.
Hey, come back here with my wet ones.
Wet Ones new Port-A-Pack, the 30-sheet flat pack that fits in purse or pocket.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids. But without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
Psychologists suspect we are what we hate. The poets write of people who do protest too much. Is it possible, therefore, that they shout the loudest against evil whose resistance to it is the weakest? Consider Mr. Peter Littlewood. He is assistant minister of justice in a country whose language would be utterly incomprehensible to most of us. So we have translated everything into English, or rather American. When we said that Peter was assistant minister of justice, we also stated his problem. He would like to be the minister. He is honestly convinced he could do a much better job than the minister.
Why were you in the square?
The square? I don't remember.
Yesterday you said you had gone there to buy ribbon for your wife.
I don't remember. Please, I'm so tired.
Isn't it true you went to the square to join the demonstration?
No. I went because my wife wanted me to buy her some ribbon. I bought her the ribbon.
What was the name of the shop?
Please, I'm so tired. The guards won't let me sleep.
What do you mean the guards won't let you sleep?
They keep shining lights in my eyes and they keep hitting me.
Abusing a prisoner is against the Constitution. You're lying.
It's true. Please, believe me.
You have the right to lodge a complaint. Here, take this complaint form.
No.
Why
no.
Not?
The guards, they find out and they kill you. No, I won't sign that.
Professor John Halder. Professor. You're a college professor. An intellectual. You know the law. You must report any official who is delinquent in his duty.
Well,
the truth then must be you are not being abused by the guards.
Well, I just said
therefore, that you are lying.
It's the truth.
Then sign the complaint. And so, we establish the fact that you are a liar.
No.
You're lying about going to the ribbon shop.
No, it's true.
Where is the ribbon?
The ribbon?
You claim you bought some ribbon. Where is it?
Yes, well, I must have lost it.
Who are your accomplices?
I don't have any accomplices. I never said or did anything against the government.
You never told your students that there should be more than one political party?
No, I only told...
And that all parties should be free to criticize the government?
I only explained that that was how it was in other countries.
Why were you in the square the day of the demonstration?
I told you to buy my wife some ribbon.
What color ribbon?
Blue. I remember.
How much ribbon?
How much? She said, John, stop at that little shop and pick up 2 yards of blue ribbon.
She told you to pick up the ribbon?
Yes. Wait. Well, you could ask her. Why didn't I think of that before? Oh, it's so simple. Just ask her.
We have asked her.
Well, then that should...
Bring in Magda Halder.
Magda? Oh, Magda. Tell them why I was in the square that day.
Mrs. Halder, did you ask your husband to buy you some ribbon?
Magda?
Did you ask him to buy some ribbon?
No.
Magda, you did?
No.
You remember, Magda? Tell them my life depends on it. Tell them you asked me to buy the ribbon. 2 yards of blue ribbon.
Did you, Mrs. Halder?
No.
Magda, what did you do to her?
Take her away.
She's making a mistake. Believe me, it was ribbon, blue ribbon. I'm innocent.
Innocent. And to hear them tell it, they're all innocent. You'd think there were no guilty people in the whole world. Innocent. You have to get up early in the morning if you want to fool Peter Littlewood. And now for the toughest job of all, going up against that fat slob, the minister. Well, it can't last forever.
Come in, Peter. Sit down. Quite a night's work you've done here.
Yes, Your Excellency.
In private, you needn't call me Your Excellency. I would prefer Carl, or Citizen Miller. I'm also Dr. Miller, a PhD in mathematics, of all things.
I prefer Your Excellency.
In spite of the fact that it annoys me.
The office you hold demands the title of respect. I have certain standards of conduct, and if a man relaxes...
Let it go.
Yes, Your Excellency.
I've looked through these cases. Quite a batch.
40. I'm hoping for your immediate approval so that sentencings might be carried out at once.
I see all of them are guilty.
Yes, Your Excellency.
You mean in this entire lot, not one of them was innocent?
If there were, I would have recommended immediate acquittal.
You should make it your business to find a few innocent people here and there. It's good politics.
I don't deal in politics. I'm guided strictly by the evidence.
An effective minister of justice is not guided by the evidence. He guides the evidence. Thus, it can lead him in any direction he chooses. Dismiss the charges against 10% of this lot.
They are all guilty of trying to overthrow the government.
4 out of 40 will not overturn the existing order of things. Besides, it's an investment.
An investment in what?
In getting a good night's sleep.
I have no trouble sleeping.
You will. You will one day, unless you make provision.
I'm afraid, Your Excellency, I don't understand.
Free 4 of these people.
But they are all guilty.
Yeah. For instance, this one. This pathetic little college professor. This John Halder.
Hmm?
Yes. He just happened to be there. Says he was going to his shop to buy his wife some ribbon. She had asked him to.
She denies telling him that?
Yes, well. It says here, John Halder, 71. His wife, Magda, 29. Definitely December and May. Would you agree?
Your Excellency, I don't see what all
this
has...
When a woman testifies against her husband and she is half his age, one might profitably pursue certain personal ramifications. Is she pretty?
She's pretty, I guess.
How do we know she isn't using this as an opportunity to rid herself of an elderly husband? Have we checked to see if there's a friend?
The woman testified under oath. She has no criminal record. She has never been in any sort of trouble. I am satisfied the woman is telling the truth. I used my best judgment. Do I have your permission to carry out the sentences?
Very well. But remember what I told you about getting a good night's sleep.
The trouble with this government is that it's still being run by the Millers. These are people who like to spend a whole day thinking. What's there to think about? It's right or wrong, yes or no, hot or cold, isn't it? What this country needs is more men of action. Men like me. Men who don't get all twisted up in their own thoughts. Men who go by the book. I go by the book. It should all be so simple. Why do people always insist on confusing the issues? How was your day, Alma?
As usual. Yours?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Are there any plans for this evening?
No. I've brought home some work.
And so have I.
Oh, I hear you're going to receive a medal.
Yes. I have increased production at the factory by 10%.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's my job. Peter, the trial of those demonstrators.
Yes?
It's all over, isn't it?
Yes.
They were executed, all of them?
Yes.
Well, then, why do you have to keep working so late?
Because the enemies of the people never sleep. Alma, an ideal wife for a man in my position. She has her own career. She's an engineer and efficiency expert. She makes no demands of me. And we have a very happy marriage. Now, let me see. I have here the dossiers on... Why am I so sleepy? I didn't get any sleep last night, so maybe I... Who can that be? Come in.
Good evening, Mr. Assistant Minister.
What do you mean by interrupting me at home? Who are you? How did you get in here?
Don't you recognize me? I suppose not. There are so many of us.
Halder. John Halder.
Yes, John Halder.
But you're dead. You were shot this morning. How did you escape?
I didn't escape. I was shot.
What do you want?
Oh, you're angry, Mr. Assistant Minister. Please, don't be. I only want to ask a question, just one question.
Yes.
Why did you believe Magda and not me?
Why would Magda lie?
Why? I never suspected it, but now I found out. She has a lover. And that's why she wanted me out of the way. I'm twice her age. I'm not very exciting. He's young, good looking. He's everything that I'm not.
Well, why didn't you accuse her of this when she testified?
Because I didn't know. I know now why she did it. And you should have investigated. You take pride in your sense of justice. But you didn't give me justice. You shot me on perjured testimony. There were 40 others. How many of them died needlessly?
It's a dream. That's all this is, a dream.
Does that mean it isn't true? Does that mean my wife didn't have a lover?
This is just a dream.
Why don't you find out?
Peter.
No.
Peter.
No.
Are you all right?
Huh? What? Oh. What's the matter?
I was passing by your door. I heard you muttering and mumbling.
I must have fallen asleep at my desk. I was dreaming.
Were you? That's odd.
Why is it odd?
Because you always say you never dream.
Well, I was dreaming this time.
Oh? What did you dream about?
Nothing.
But it was something that sounded terrifying. Absolutely frightful.
I tell you, it was nothing. Nothing.
It was nothing. One thing every listener should know by now is when a character in one of our stories says it was nothing, it's a code expression for it was everything. Where are we headed? We are headed toward Act Two. And we've got a special surprise all lined up.
If you've got a question about lemons, the makers of Minute Maid have the answer.
If I wanted to taste a fresh lemon and didn't want to bother squeezing them, what could I use instead?
Try the first fresh-tasting pure lemon juice in a bottle. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
I love lemon juice, but the taste of bottled lemon juice doesn't make it in my house. What's the alternative?
New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. The leading bottle brand contains chemical preservatives that you can actually smell.
Everything I use has to be really fresh, including my lemon juice. And you just can't put that in a bottle.
We did. New Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. We squeeze fresh lemons and freeze the pure whole juice. You buy it frozen and keep it in your refrigerator.
I can't handle squeezing lemons. And for my iced tea, I need a really good-tasting lemon juice.
You've got it. Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice. Delicious in iced tea. Delicious in anything because it's the only pure lemon juice in a bottle. Look for it in your grocer's frozen juice section.
Nightline, you're on the air.
About the caller who talks to her plants?
Yes.
She should plant her garden at the library.
Uh-huh.
Learning Swahili will not help her grow an African violet.
That's good advice.
And the caller who's looking for a new job?
Oh, yeah.
She should go to the library for job information.
The library.
She should have never lost her old one.
Well, I agree.
You just don't take off work for Robert Redford's birthday.
No.
I mean, that isn't a national holiday.
You're right.
The library could have told her that.
Absolutely.
And finally, the caller who botched up his vacation?
Oh, yes.
Always plan a trip at the library first.
That was a shame.
I mean, he should have been suspicious of any travel ad that reads 8 days and only 4 nights.
Oh, you're right, yes.
You know, the library has some great new services for everyone, from general information and referral to concerts and puppet shows.
Well, thank you for calling, Nightline.
Now, I have a problem.
Oh?
You see, I'm at the library right now.
At 3 a.m.?
Well, they said it was closing time, but I started tracing my family tree, and I forgot to look at the clock.
The library. Come see what's new, besides books.
If there's a locksmith listening, I'd really appreciate it.
We'll see what we can do.
A public service message from the American Library Association.
In Peter Littlewood, we have a man who claimed he never dreamed. And why shouldn't we believe him? But now, by his own admission, he has had a dream. A very odd and disturbing dream. A dream in which a dead man has given him a certain piece of information. Information which has to be checked out because it could have a profound influence on the rest of his life.
Was I really dreaming? And if I was, what was the meaning of that dream? Evidently, something is disturbing my mind. It was Miller who planted the idea in my mind that John Halder's wife testified against him because she had a lover. And so I dreamed that Halder appeared to me to verify it. I'm going to face Miller with this. Bring it out in the open.
What is it this time, Peter?
You accuse me of being derelict in my duty.
Did I? When? Where? How?
When? The other day. Where? Here in this office. How? By not investigating any alleged motive Mrs. Magda Halder may have had for testifying against her husband.
Mrs. Magda Halder?
Hmm?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember now. That May and December marriage.
You suggested she use the opportunity of the demonstration to get rid of him.
The fact is, she did testify against him. What other reason could she have?
This, Your Excellency, is where we disagree. There is a fundamental difference between us. I believe in my work, while you...
Yes? While I what? Tell me.
You are a cynical man.
I plead guilty.
I believe in the people's government. I believe that the overwhelming majority of the citizens of this country also believe in the government. And that's why I disagree with you on Magda Halder.
It only required one word, and he would have been alive and free. She condemned him to death. I say she had a reason.
And I agree. And the reason was, she loves her country more than anything else in the world.
Nonsense.
Nonsense, perhaps, to you. You don't understand love of country.
Is that a fact?
I'm speaking freely. You're too wise, the intellectual. In your heart, you despise simple people. I saw that woman's face. I saw the agony. She knew she was sending him to his death, and yet she understood the love of country. the obedience to duty that stands above any personal consideration. She had no choice.
You believe this nonsense?
Your Excellency,
yes, yes, you do. Well, we disagree. You insist she was doing her patriotic duty, and I claim she was only combining duty with pleasure.
I respect your point of view, although I deplore it.
And I respect yours.
And of course, neither of us will ever be able to prove he was right.
Oh, that's not true. The truth is easily established.
How?
How? I'm surprised at you, Peter. A resourceful investigator like yourself. You could easily discover the truth. Or are you afraid?
Yes? Oh. It's...
The Assistant Minister for Justice, Mrs. Halder. May I come in?
Oh, certainly, Your Excellency. Well, won't you have a seat?
I'm merely here to ask you a few questions. Oh. Now, you said you did not ask your husband to stop off and buy the ribbon that day. You said that under oath.
Oh, yes, and it's the truth. I swear, it's the truth.
You knew what it would mean.
Oh, yes.
You had no other motive.
No. What other motive could there be? I worship John Halder. I was his student. I fell in love with him. Oh, he was the most wonderful human being in the world. I loved him. But no one has the right to place personal feelings above the good of the government. I still love him.
Maggie, darling, bring me a bath towel, huh?
Who is that?
Who is who?
Maggie.
Oh, that. Oh, that's my cousin. His apartment, the apartment house burned down and he needed a place to stay.
Hey, Maggie, darling.
Your cousin?
My second cousin. Actually, his family and my family were all so close, it's as if we were cousins.
Sweetheart, you out there?
How long has this been going on?
How long has what been going on?
I advise you to tell me the truth.
Well, we've been lovers. I couldn't help myself. Well, John was wonderful, but he was old. He was so old. And I needed...
And so you saw your chance to be rid of him.
Oh, no.
You lied to me.
Oh, no, I told the truth. I did not ask him to buy the ribbon. I didn't.
You couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Well, I know this doesn't look good, but I did nothing to get rid of John, I swear. I told the truth.
You're lying.
Well, no one can prove it. No one. It's my word against his. It was always my word against his. And now he's dead.
There was terror in her voice, but I could read the triumph in her eyes. What could I do about it? Could I admit publicly that a mistake had been made? Never. The government does not, cannot make mistakes. I could bring charges against her and make her pay dearly, but this would be even more harmful. It would be an admission of incompetence on my part, but that's not the worst of it. What about John Halder? Why did he appear to me in a dream? I'm not a dreamer. Whatever else I may be, I'm not a dreamer. What does it mean?
What time shall we arrive there tonight?
Hmm? Oh, arrive where, Alma?
At your minister's reception.
Oh, I'd forgotten. I don't think I can go.
Are you ill?
No, I'm not ill.
Well, you appear somewhat pale.
Oh, I haven't been getting much rest. I promised myself to get to bed early tonight. As a matter of fact, right after dinner.
Won't His Excellency be put out if you're not there?
Couldn't you go without me?
Do I have to go?
I think it would be good if someone were there to represent me.
Very well.
Now, I know you really don't want to go, but I am very tired.
What do you want me to wear?
You're black. Miller is very fond of women in black.
Is he?
I didn't care about the reception. I simply had to get Alma out of the house. The reception would run from 8 to 12. That would give me a chance to sleep for 4 hours. And if I should dream and talk in my sleep, she wouldn't be here to notice.
Good evening, Mr. Assistant Minister.
You? Again?
Why are you surprised? You knew I would be here.
What do you want?
Justice.
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
That's a lie.
Can you be brought back to life?
No.
Well, then what can I do? Do you want me to admit publicly that your execution was a mistake? That would result in a certain amount of trouble for me. Is that what you want?
I told you what I want. Justice.
What is justice?
This is something you must figure out for yourself.
Wait a minute. Come back here. Where are you going?
Peter.
Come back. Come back.
Peter.
Come. Where'd he go? Where'd John Halder go?
John Halder? Huh? Did you say John Halder?
Huh? Oh, why would I say John Halder?
I don't know. You were having a dream again.
Oh, no. It was nothing. Did you have a good time?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Perhaps you'd better go back to sleep.
No, I don't want any more sleep. I've had my rest. I can go back to work.
All right, if that's what you want.
Alma, it would be wise not to discuss this with anyone. I mean the fact that I've been having bad dreams.
Why would I discuss it with anyone?
Well, it's just that I hold a very sensitive position in the government.
I think I understand.
I looked at her. There was no anger in her voice. Just a statement of fact. I don't believe she's capable of anger. She's an engineer, all wrapped up in physics and mathematics. Mathematics. Maybe that's why Miller thinks she's attractive. I don't see it. She's kind of pale and washed out. She doesn't have that animal excitement that, say, Magda Halder has. But I didn't want a woman with animal excitement. I wanted someone like Alma who wouldn't get in my way. Magda. What am I going to do about Magda? She lied. Oh, did she? Isn't it my duty to find out? Maybe that's what John Halder meant by justice. Truth. The truth, no matter where it leads or who it hurts. I'll have her arrested and make her tell the truth.
Peter.
Hmm?
You busy?
No, Your Excellency. Please come in.
You told my secretary you wanted to talk about something special.
Yes. About justice. A few days ago, you asked, what is justice? And you answered your own question. You said it was a man-made conceit. I disagree.
You have a better answer.
Yes. I say justice is truth. And I intend to establish the truth. We have a disagreement about the motives of Mrs. Magda Halder. I want the case reopened. I want her arrested.
I'm sorry it can't be done.
Do you mean you won't permit it?
Magda Halder is dead.
He killed her. He came back and killed her.
What are you saying?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
You can read about it in this morning's paper. It seems your friend Magda Halder was drowned last night.
Am I in trouble, Your Excellency? Why was I arrested?
You were having an affair with Magda Halder.
Yes, but...
Did you ever discuss how convenient it might be to get rid of her husband?
Oh, no. Never. He was executed as an enemy of the people. Well, you know about that, Your Excellency.
And what happened to her last night?
We decided to take a boat ride. You know, the excursion steamer. And we were on deck. Suddenly, she screamed, "No! Keep away from me! Keep away!" Everybody turned to look. She kept yelling, "No, John, no, keep away from me."
John?
Yes. She must have thought she saw John, her dead husband. Next thing I knew, she had climbed onto the rail and she fell or jumped. I dove in after her, but it was dark and I couldn't find her. And before she could be rescued, she was dead.
Very well, you may go.
You mean I'm not wanted for anything?
I said go.
Mr. Assistant Minister.
What do you want?
I told you. Justice.
Your wife is dead. You literally scared her to death. Hasn't justice been done?
No.
What more do you want? Tell me, I see you in these dreams. I'm tired, tense, and nervous. And I let you talk me into all kinds of nonsense.
It isn't nonsense.
Your wife testified she didn't ask you to buy the ribbon. Now she's dead. But there's someone else we can ask. I'll lay this to rest once and for all.
Our friend Peter doesn't have an easy job. Awake, he gets cynical flack from his boss. Asleep, he's persecuted by the ghost of the man he sentenced to death. Wait a minute. Let's pull that last statement back. We say asleep. Peter is persecuted. How can we be sure he's really asleep? Or that John Halder is positively dead? Well, just stick with us. You know we've never led you astray yet. Especially in the third act.
Thomas Paine? Haven't you finished writing Common Sense yet?
No, ma'am. I just reached the part where I say everyone should have a Fetters air conditioner.
Think cool, America. Fetters announces four bicentennial specials. Four rotary-powered room air conditioners from 10,000 to 21,000 BTUs. No waiting for a factory rebate. Get big savings now at participating dealers. Up to $60 less than comparable capacity Fetters models. Plus, a free $9.95 value bicentennial almanac. Hurry, get your Fetters bicentennial special today.
You know, I just thought of something.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, over 400,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you got all those people together, they'd probably disagree on nearly everything. Religion, politics, sports. I mean, people disagree on all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet all those people, over 400,000 of them, agree on Buicks. I think that's really socially significant, don't you?
No.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and mommy and daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference. Peter Littlewood has been serving as his country's assistant minister of justice. And it has just been called to his attention that he really doesn't know what justice is, which you must admit is an embarrassing situation. And since so much life and death is involved, Peter is determined to find out about one particular death, regardless of how much it costs.
Yes, sir, may I help you? Oh, Your Excellency.
You know who I am.
Yes, sir, everyone knows you. You're the assistant to the Minister for Justice.
I have a question to ask you. On the day of the demonstration...
The demonstration? Oh, sir, I wouldn't know anything
You
about...
remember that day?
Yes, sir. When we saw it begin, we were the ones who telephoned the police. You could look that up. It must be on their records. The first call came from a lady's ribbon and lace shop.
Do you know a Mr. John Halder?
Halder?
A professor at the university.
I don't think so.
This is his picture.
Yes, sir.
Now, on this particular day, do you remember seeing him in your shop?
No, sir. If he's a subversive person...
Stop that. I want the truth. Don't try to anticipate me. Now, did he buy anything in your shop?
That was a very upsetting day. There were so many people in here.
Answer.
I'm trying. I'll show you my sales receipts. The place was jammed. People were coming in and out. It was one of the busiest days of the year.
Then you'd have no way of knowing?
And to make things worse, once the police arrived, people became frightened, and they started jamming into all the stores. You know how the police swing their clubs and arrest everyone in sight. They have to do it. I'm not complaining.
You didn't see this man?
No, sir, I did not.
Peter?
Yes, Alma?
Oh, you're rather late.
I'm sorry I kept dinner waiting.
But we're not dining at home.
We're not?
Peter, are you all right? We're the minister's guests for dinner tonight.
When did this happen?
Well, the date was made at least a week ago.
Oh, I can't seem to remember.
It's formal.
I'm just too tired.
You don't want to go?
I just want to get some sleep.
Well, then you'll simply have to call the minister.
Would you do it for me, Alma? I can hardly keep my eyes open. If you want to go, well, you can.
Oh, I find your minister a bore. And why would I want to go alone? Besides, I have work to do.
Hello?
Dr. Miller?
Oh, it's you, my dearest.
I'm afraid Peter and I must disappoint you this evening. Peter's not well.
A pity. Really a pity. We'll just have to make it tete-a-tete, won't we? Shall I send the car for you, darling?
Just a moment, Your Excellency. Peter, The minister insists I come alone. He's invited some people to discuss plant security with me.
I hate to impose, Alma, but it might be better.
Your Excellency?
Yes, my darling.
I'll wait for your car.
The champagne is cooling. Hurry.
Goodbye, Your Excellency.
I am sorry you're in for a boring night, Alma.
I'll manage to get through it somehow.
If Halder dares to show up now, I can face him. I have the evidence. He's a subversive. He said he was in that shop and bought the ribbon. If that were true, he could have proven it. But his wife denies sending him there. The shop owner can't remember seeing him there. He can't prove he was there.
But I can prove it.
You?
Yes, John Halder.
What do you want from me?
Justice.
You said you could prove you were in the ribbon shop. How can you prove...
Look in this bag. This small brown bag. Look at what's inside.
The ribbon.
Yes, the ribbon. The blue ribbon Magda asked me to buy for her. And here, the sales slip.
When you were being interrogated, you were asked where the ribbon was. You said you lost it.
That's true.
But how did you lose it, and how did you find it?
I walked out of the shop, and the police descended upon the square, grabbing at everyone. I dropped the bag. It fell against the building. I remember that after I was executed. And so I went back there later, and it was still there. Here, take it. The ribbon. The blue ribbon.
The ribbon. What am I supposed to do?
Take it. Use it as a symbol for justice.
Justice?
Take my place. My place in the underground.
No, you're crazy.
No. There will never be justice as long as this government exists to make a mockery of it. Help fight for a true government of the people.
No.
You say no. But you'll do it. You'll do it because now you believe in justice.
I must wake up. Wake up from this nightmare.
You will not wake up until you hear me out. Look at your people. How they cower in fear.
No, I'm not listening anymore.
Yes, you are. I have brought you the symbol, the blue symbol of freedom and justice. This blue ribbon.
Let me alone.
I will go away now, but you will remember every word I said, and you will act. You must, or else I and so many others will have died in vain. Goodbye, Peter. I know I leave the fight in good hands.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Coffee?
Thank you. Enjoy dinner last night?
Oh, it was the usual bore.
I am sorry. Well, at least I got a wonderful night's sleep.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Oh, did you by any chance happen to see some blue...
Yes.
This is going to sound crazy. I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
A dream that someone had given me a piece of... Well, it doesn't matter. It was only a dream. And yet it was so real. I half expected it would be there when I woke up.
You'd better see a doctor. Those dreams seem quite ravaging.
The dreams are all over.
How do you know?
I discovered why I was dreaming.
Oh?
You see, the dreams were a substitute for action.
What sort of action?
The right sort of action, which I realize is an answer that leaves you no wiser than before.
Well, I should be late for my office.
I wanted to say, wait, don't go. I want to talk to you about an entire change in my life. But I looked at her face. Her sallow face. So devoid of expression. She wasn't the kind of woman you talk to about danger and excitement. Yes?
Peter, can you come to my office, please?
Well, is it important? I have some documents.
It's of the utmost importance.
Very well. What is it, Your Excellency? Say, what are all these people doing here?
This should be familiar to you. You've attended so many in the past. It's an administrative trial.
A trial? Who's been tried?
You are.
I am.
Sergeant, place the handcuffs on him.
No, no, wait, wait.
Be seated.
I demand to know what
you
this is all...
You will have your chance to be heard. You are charged with the murder of Professor John Halder.
Murder? What? I sentenced him to death, and you approved the sentence.
I was not in possession of all of the facts. You had withheld evidence.
What evidence?
Evidence that would have proved John Halder's innocence. That you murdered him.
That isn't true. Why would I want to murder him? I didn't even know him.
You knew his wife.
His wife?
You were attracted to her.
That's a lie.
And so you deliberately withheld the evidence.
I defy you to produce any evidence.
Do you recognize this?
It's the bag.
Yes. The bag which contains the purchase Professor John Halder made at the ribbon shop. 2 yards of blue ribbon which could have proved his innocence.
Well, where... How did you get that bag?
How do you think? Your wife brought it to me.
My wife? Alma, you're here? What are you doing here?
Mrs. Littlewood, will you tell us how you came into possession of the bag with the blue ribbon?
I found it under my husband's pillow.
And what made you bring it to me?
I knew about the case, and I heard him talk about it in his sleep. How he loved her.
That isn't true. John Halder brought it to me.
John Halder is dead.
Even so, he gave me the ribbon.
Pretending to be insane will not save you. The fact is, the ribbon which could have saved John Halder was found in your possession. Thanks to the patriotic gesture by your wife, it is ours.
Alma. Alma, why? Why did you do this to me?
It was my duty as a citizen.
You have committed the most heinous crime an official can be guilty of. Abuse of office. Now, is there anything you wish to say before sentence is passed?
Alma. Alma, where did you get the ribbon? It was only a dream. Alma, answer me.
You needn't answer him, my dear.
My dear. Is that it? Is that what happened? But he's twice your age. What do you see in him?
Take him away.
No, please, Your Excellency. Please.
Thank you, gentlemen. The trial is over. Champagne, dearest.
Yes, my darling.
And so the Honorable Peter Littlewood, assistant to the Minister for Justice, was finally brought to justice himself. You may say he deserved to die for all the people he had cruelly killed. And, of course, he also deserved to die for the cruel way he neglected his wife. But I shall not neglect you. I shall return in just a few moments.
And now, Coffee Rich, the frozen non-dairy creamer, presents Coffee Clocks. Tonight we join Richmond City's wealthiest widows as they chat over coffee.
My dear, considering our wealth and position, what would you say we are?
Rich, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. And what are we drinking?
Coffee, Mildred.
Right, Hortense. Now, put the two together and what have we got?
Rich coffee.
Oh, no, you ninny. Oh. In now our coffee. What's here in this pitcher?
Coffee Rich? Why, it tastes so light and creamy.
Of course, Hortense, and Coffee Rich is very convenient for us, too. You just keep it in the fridge, ready for use at a moment's notice.
Oh, Mildred, with good help so hard to find these days, it's heartwarming to know there's a non-dairy creamer that's so convenient and delicious.
Yes, dear, and it's in such good taste.
Just like you, Mildred.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Be with us tomorrow for the continuing serialization of the Coffee Rich Coffee Clock.
Oh, yes, and Coffee Rich is marvelous on serial. Don't you know?
Don't I know what?
Oh, ninny.
This spring, True Value Hardware Stores can keep you from committing involuntary plant slaughter when you start your garden. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that True Value Hardware Stores offer the True Temper Tool Toter, just $5.44. It includes four of the most used gardened hand tools and sizes ideal for working around young, delicate plants. They come in a handy carrying tray. There's a three-tine digging fork for removing weeds and loosening soil, a trowel with wide blade for planting larger vegetables from the nursery, a cultivator for turning over soil, and a dandelion digger to remove weeds completely, roots and all. Each tool has a chromed head and a smooth-finished ash handle. You get four tools in a carrying tray for just $5.44. You'll find a complete selection of True Temper tools, shovels, spading forks, hoes, rakes, and more at participating True Value Hardware stores. For the one nearest you, look under Hardware in the Yellow Pages and tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
What is justice? Odd that a man who is engaged in the dispensing of justice would have to ask himself that question. Or is it so odd? How many of us know the meaning of our daily task? Or in other words, how many people really know what they're doing? Deponent knoweth not. Our cast included Leon Janney, Jackson Beck, E.V. Jester, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Thousands of Syrian troops in Lebanon show no sign of further advance towards Beirut, but their presence is apparently interfering with an advance towards a political settlement. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Left-wing leader Kamal Jumblatt has stated one prime condition for political talks to end the Lebanese war is the withdrawal of those Syrian troops. Gunmen have enforced a general strike called by the left wing in protest against those Syrian troops. Egypt has condemned Syria's military intervention and calls for an urgent meeting of Arab foreign ministers to put an end to it. The war in Lebanon has become a breeding ground for lawlessness. John Sheehan has a report from Beirut.
The civil war also provides cover for gangsters. In one of the few restaurants still open here in Beirut, two gunmen got up from their meals and ordered all the other patrons to hand over money and jewelry. A French woman journalist among the diners was kidnapped and raped by the gunmen. The Palestinian commando organization Al-Fatah, which is the closest thing there is here to a police force, helped the woman to retrace her steps to an apartment where the kidnappers had assaulted her. There they found a Danish woman who had been kidnapped from another restaurant sometime earlier. The kidnappers had fled. In the lawlessness of Beirut, it is rare that rape victims live to report what happened to them. A Palestinian source said one man had been apprehended and had given the names of four others allegedly involved. If they're caught, they might be punished. But everyone here knows the lawlessness will go on. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beirut.
CBS News continues after this.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Dubonnet. Before a meal by day or night, Dubonnet is always right. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to enjoy its distinctive taste is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's a wine that's right for your appetite. Dubonnet Before. Made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
A product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
According to the New York Times, Democratic Senator Hubert Humphrey says if Jimmy Carter stumbles badly in next Tuesday's three presidential primaries, he would probably begin campaigning actively for the nomination. Humphrey said he thinks Carter has lost a lot of his zip, but if Carter comes to the convention with 1,200 or 1,300 delegates, the convention could not deny Carter the nomination. Carter and Morris Udall appealed for votes in Ohio Thursday, the last state Udall has a chance to win a primary. Carter won the endorsement of John Gilligan, a former Ohio governor and currently secretary of the Democrats' platform committee. Udall says he regrets that and that he believes he more closely represents what Gilligan stands for than Carter. A plan to smuggle drugs into the United States has been foiled. Bob Kaplitz of station WTVJ in Miami reports.
A Colombian government naval ship invited to Miami for the bicentennial is part of an alleged plot to smuggle $500,000 worth of cocaine into the United States. That has been confirmed by the State Department in Washington. The cocaine never got to Miami. Investigators say the ship's captain learned that U.S. authorities knew about the smuggling plot, and he disposed of the 6 pounds of cocaine to avoid an international incident. The Consul General of Colombia denies the alleged plot, but the captain of the Gloria, which is now docked in Miami, refuses to answer any questions. Bob Kaplitz for CBS News, Miami.
FBI Director Clarence Kelly has asked the Attorney General for permission to drop its computerized criminal record system. An FBI spokesman says Kelly cited the high cost of the operation and the lack of state participation. Now this.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here with the Super Chef, Mike Roy. Would you believe I think I see a halo resting gently above your head?
It might be, Denny, my boy, because tomorrow on the cook thing, we're making heavenly hash.
Oh, call it like it is. It's leftovers again.
Ah, that's the surprise. It's a dessert, not a main dish.
It is. And it's heavenly hash.
That's right.
You're not paving your way to the pearly gates again, are you, huh?
Well, of course I am. I'm no fool. I'm
putting in a good word with Gabe. He is tomorrow, friends, on the Cook Thing, right here on CBS.
The Belmont, the Test of Champions, a mile-and-a-half challenge for America's best three-year-olds, and it's all coming to you Saturday, June 5th. I'm Win Elliott, and I'm going to be there for the color. Ray Haight will call the race as it's run. Can Bull Forbes, the Derby winner, hold his speed? And how about play the red? He was finishing fast in Maryland. Will somebody new pop down the stretch and right into history? It all happens at the Belmont, the third and toughest of the Triple Crown races. Be there on this CBS Radio Network station.
One floral arrangement at Martha Mitchell's funeral Thursday caused quite a bit of speculation. White chrysanthemums formed the message, Martha was right. The donor is a mystery. John Dean's name has been mentioned as a possibility. The flowers appear to be a reference to Watergate and Mrs. Mitchell's outspoken and caustic criticism of public figures she said were involved. She was buried in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. She died Monday of bone cancer at the age of 57. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
I'm Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac, on trees, the true wealth of our colonies is our people, and the true wealth of our natural resources is our trees. Our forests are so vast that sea captains say they can smell the pines 100 miles from shore. We have more varieties of trees than we have of peoples. It is said that he who plants a tree rarely tastes its fruit or nuts or uses its wood. So it follows that he who plants a tree loves others besides himself. And now, some wisdom from a modern source.
At the insurance store, you get service second to none. In many cases, your problem can be handled right on the phone. In all cases, it'll be handled fairly, because we represent only companies that work that way, like Continental Insurance. For your nearest insurance store, just see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages.
24 hours a day, every day. Bright and beautiful music, right here on KIXI.
Thank you.
as a public services message on KIXI, the American Merchant Marine Library Association is a nonprofit organization which provides reading material to the American Merchant Marine. To keep a continuous supply moving to the